Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
It's been 100 days since the current government took office, but have we seen any real change in the cost of childcare here in Ireland? Well, with families still struggling to keep up, we're discussing what's been done so far and what needs to happen. This is a huge gathering today, and we'll hear more about that in a moment. But in terms of my personal story, I was chatting to the team about it beforehand, and they were saying, well, will you share that with the listeners? So, you know, I am the mother of three boys. We have three boys, and I'm all too familiar with the costs of creches and also how wonderful they are, first of all. So we were in the very lucky position where each of our boys was minded by my mam, who gave up her job to mind the first child. And they all got that kind of one-to-one care, or two-to-one, I suppose, with my dad there, for the first 2 years. Then they went into our local creche, which was absolutely fantastic. And, you know, perfect timing in terms of the social integration and what they needed at the time. But there is no doubt, if we were to analyse those figures, and there was times when I would have been afraid to analyse those figures because they wouldn't stack up, particularly when you add the second child in and you're then paying, you know, a bigger mortgage than your actual mortgage, and then you add a third child in. It is just nuts. So I have lived it, I get it, and it's shocking that we're still having the same conversation years later. But we are. And Rachel Coyle, head of campaigns and mobilisation with the National Women's Council, joins me on the line. So, Rachel, the National Women's Council are involved in the protest today. Perhaps you can tell us why you felt it was important to join this gathering, because you're one of, what is it, 40 organisations?
That's right. So we're part of the Together for Public Alliance. And what we're saying is that women and families can't wait any longer on this issue. As you say, 100 days have passed since the government took office, and we're still waiting for this real action on childcare. I mean, what you spoke about from your own personal experience is, you know, a system that, I suppose, it worked in your case because you had that family support, but you know, what we're hearing from other families is that the system is really broken, that the average price per child across the country is, you know, enormous. Waiting lists are spiraling, and the educators are really burned out and underpaid. And obviously today is May 1st. It's International Workers' Day, and childcare is a fundamental gender equality and workers' rights issue. You know, we know that women, especially, you know, lone parents, migrant women, traveller women, they're being forced out of the workplace, out of education, because of the challenges in the sector. And we're saying that this isn't the norm across Europe. You know, we're an outlier in Ireland. Why are we still relying on a failing private model? And to not forget that the government actually made promises in the programme for government to reduce fees, to improve conditions for educators, to expand state-led provision. But 100 days in, we haven't seen anything.
We haven't seen the action. Yeah. It's important to say this affects women with, you know, what would be considered professional, very well paid careers, as well as all sections of society. Because I can guarantee you, when the second and most definitely that third child comes along, the numbers actually don't stack up for most of us. They didn't stack up for a period of time for me, but I didn't want to not be a working mother, because I know when you're not working, you know, it's harder to go back to the workplace. It affects your confidence. I'm aware of all of those things. And I've seen so many friends, you know, build their career for years and then opt out of it because the numbers don't add up. And then they find it very difficult to go back to the workplace for a number of reasons.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, you know, whether we like it or not, women are still providing, you know, the majority of care for our children. So it is us that are sort of forced with these really difficult decisions. And in a lot of cases, I feel like women nearly feel like this is an individual kind of problem. You know, you have to kind of grit your teeth and bear it for the short amount of years that you have to or whatever. But what we're saying is it doesn't have to be this way. There are really simple things that can be done to move us towards a better and fairer model. I think what's kind of interesting, like, obviously we're calling for a public system, right? So what we mean by that is a not-for-profit state-run service that actually guarantees a place for every child, where, you know, the educators would not only be paid fairly, but actually there would be a system where the state directly pays their wages, like they do for, you know, teachers in primary and secondary schools.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, we want to see the cap of 200 euros per month per child that was promised during the general election by, I think, all political parties. And we really need to hold politicians to account for that. And as far as we're concerned, that can really only be delivered through a public system, through more state-led intervention. And in the program for government, the government themselves say that we need to see more state-led services in areas that are underserved. Like, childcare shouldn't be a postcode lottery, you know. Childcare should be a legal right for every child. I think, we could ask the question around, how do we afford this? How do we move towards this? We can't afford not to do it. Every euro that's spent in early years care comes back later on, you know, in
of
terms
course.
Of better education.
So the promise that you're referring to, Rachel, is that the government had committed to developing this action plan on early childhood education and care and reducing the fees for families to 200 euro per month per child. And we haven't obviously seen any impact on that just yet. We have Paula Donoghue, owner of Clever Clogs Creche in County Cavan and chairperson of the Association of Childhood Professionals. She's on the line. Paula, what are your thoughts?
First of all, just to say, I totally agree. We do need a public model to run alongside the publicly funded model that is currently in existence across both community and private childcare facilities here in Ireland. I don't think our childcare is failing. I think it is down to that there has been a failure of appropriate investment in it, which has caused just no end of issues in trying to run sustainable services. After all, we've been here for decades, long before the government came in and started putting investment in. And yes, we welcome there's been a big improvement investment. But we have to look at ourselves as compared to Europe. I know my colleague there was talking about the fact that we're outliers in Europe, but we're also outliers in Europe in the lack of investment. We are way down the table for investment. And therein lies your issue. Therein lies the problem that exists for childcare. As regards the public model versus the publicly funded model that we currently have, I am all for it. I think a lot of countries have shown that and demonstrated that they can work alongside a publicly funded model. But we need a huge amount of consultation. There is no point in backing something where there isn't even a framework for this to exist. There's nothing to hang our hat on and say, oh, that's what it looks like. There has been no conversations, no consultations across all the stakeholder forums. We're all there. All the representative stakeholder groups are there ready and willing to be part of formulating a framework for what a public model could and should look like in this country.
Of course.
But there has no consultation has happened.
It's just not being prioritised. Yeah. Someone has sent in a text here and it's literally mirroring my personal experience. Childcare was costing me 2,400 per month for three children. I had to give up work because it was just not viable. It makes me so mad. I didn't want to forfeit my career, says the texter. Now, Lily Fox joins me on the line. Lily, you're at the protest. Why was it important for you to attend today?
Hi, Anna.
Hi.
It was important kind of personally because I've got a toddler myself. She's coming up to two in July and we've been on waiting lists since last June, so almost a year. And so she has a place secured and we paid the deposit last August, but they're kind of waiting on a new building and approvals and approval of an inspection for that. So, yeah, we're still kind of waiting, and we're kind of having to divide the time between myself and my husband. So I'm lucky that we can do that. So we are able to, I work for 4 days and then he works 2 days on the weekend, so we can be the ones taking care of her. But I know not everyone has that possibility. But I'm also here actually representing my workplace, which is 221 Person Patient Support Group. And we support the women and families impacted by the historic failures in the cervical screening program. And it's actually an issue for some of our members as well, because there is kind of this extra mental, physical, financial toll of having a cancer diagnosis and then post-treatment living with lifelong side effects, which is especially true for gynecological cancers. There's all kinds of factors that go into that. So there's basically reduced ability to work because of the side effects, because of treatments, which kind of then reduces your finances. And then you've got upfront costs, kind of traveling for treatments and...
Yeah, going through treatment is enough without having, layers of other worries on top of it as well. We have Avril Green is a graduate lead educator and chair of SIP2 Early Years National Committee. Avril, what are you hearing from your members on this?
So I'm hearing from our members that our educators, as educators, we're struggling to meet ends. We have stress and burnout that are big issues in our sector caused by the staffing crisis. And that is caused by the low pay and conditions of the whole sector. The current system isn't working for the educators. 3 years out from our first ARO deal, educators are only earning an hourly rate of $13.65 an hour. That's only 15 cents above the national minimum wage. And it's not a fair deal for educators. It doesn't reflect our skills, our qualifications, our experience. The relationships that we build with the children in our care then is impacted by that, because you have educators leaving the system because they can't afford.
So we're talking here about the wonderful educators and staff in creches that people are paying so much money to. And I'm not saying that they don't feel like they're getting value for it. It's unbelievably brilliant, once you feel you've chosen the right place for your child. But it's such a shame then that you have the staff who are feeling like they're underpaid and overworked.
Yes. Oh, definitely. Look, we give the service that I work in. It's a quality service. We have over 100 families, I think, on the books. We have 2 preschool sessions. It's fantastic. It's a community service. But it's just, and they do, I know they do their best. They do their best, but their funding isn't, the funding isn't enough to cover a fair deal of wages for the staff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me just read out this text and I'll get your reaction off the back of it. At the moment, it doesn't make sense for my partner to go back to work, as we would be worse off due to childcare costs. The insane thing is that they're receiving a monthly benefit from the state that I'm sure could cover the cost of publicly funded childcare. If the state put that money towards childcare costs for working families, the workforce would benefit, as well as parents and families. Money going to the wrong place as per usual. Does that sound familiar, Avril?
Yeah, I think the government needs to intervene and start to build a system where the state takes over the responsibility. If they pay our wages, just like they do the teachers, they can ensure a public funding goes directly to pay for educators.
Okay, and it would be a much fairer system, I suppose, for everyone involved. Paul Gavin from the Irish Congress of Trade Unions is on the line, I believe. Paul, is this a workers' rights issue? Do we have Paul Gavin? Is he gone?
Hello,
Paul. Do we have you?
Hello. Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Apologies, Anna. Yes,
no problem.
This is very much a workers' rights issue. Decent people who work across the state should have an entitlement to accessible and affordable and quality childcare. The reality is, in too many cases at the moment, that access is not available. People are having to travel miles just to find a place in a creche. They're paying way over the odds. And that's because the current model, unfortunately, is not fit for purpose. And as you've just heard, there's a second aspect of that workers' rights issue, which is that the really poor rates of pay that are being offered to some of the best workers we have in the country, doing some of the most important work in the country in terms of looking after children at that most fundamental stage of education.
Those important formative years, you know, and we're paying out this, you know, what feels like a second mortgage. It is a second mortgage for many people. And yet it's so disappointing to realise that the staff are not being rewarded in the way they should be.
But see, that's because the model isn't right at the moment. And look, just by the way, and there's plenty of really good providers out there. Let's acknowledge that straight away.
Yes.
But the top 10 private suppliers of childcare have made 60 million of profits in the last 5 years. So there is something fundamentally wrong with the current model. The solution is to roll out publicly funded childcare, as they do in so many other countries across Europe. And in fairness, there was a political consensus on this before the election. All political parties bought into this. But what's worrying is here we are 100 days into this new government, and so far no action whatsoever on this most urgent of issues in terms of workers' rights, access to affordable, quality childcare.
Yeah. There's a text here saying, currently a single mother and a qualified teacher, I cannot afford to go back to work and pay childcare alone. And now society is losing a teacher over lack of childcare. It's a pretty powerful sentence in itself, isn't it, Paul?
It certainly is. And I mean, you know, if you look at the alliance that the National Women's Council have put together here, and fair play to them, there are 46 different bodies involved in this alliance calling for a publicly funded childcare model, because this issue is so widely and deeply felt. We thought we had a consensus on it. All of the political parties agreed that we needed a public-funded system. And yet, I'm really concerned, and that's why this protest is happening today, because there seems to be no movement. And this is an issue that is impacting on hundreds of thousands of workers across the state.
And you can see that in the numbers there today. This is a gathering at Leinster House today. It is call to action on public childcare. It's childcare campaigners from Together for Public. And my goodness, 221 support groups, including the National Women's Council, Friends of the Earth, the INTO. I mean, the list goes on, and it just shows the knock-on effects that this has. So, Rachel, can I come back to you, National Women's Council, from your point of view in terms of women, their careers, you know, the prospects that they're possibly leaving behind because the costs of childcare are prohibiting them from continuing their career. Where does it leave them?
Yeah, that's it. You know, we can't say as a society we're serious about gender equality if we're not investing in childcare. And I just want to say I'm delighted actually to hear from that provider from Cavan, because I really don't like the narrative that this is about like parents versus providers or anything. It's not the right way to look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's actually offered a handy distraction from the issues that the state can take steps to resolve. Providers, you know, like there's members of our alliance that are providers, and they're doing this work because they're passionate about children. You know, they're not even getting basic things like maternity benefits. You know, lots of questions about what their pensions will look like. They're bogged down with administration. You know, they're having to worry about margins. It's not sustainable, you know, and it might be for big corporations. And you know, Paul mentioned, you know, those mega profits there. But for small providers, they're really stressed out. They're fed up. They're talking about leaving the sector. The issue is about how the state are relying entirely on private provision for this crucial service.
Yeah.
Like the women working in the sector, you know, as average, they're educators. They're educators to children, but also to parents like me. They're amazing, you know. We rely on them for their, you know, their advice, bouncing things off them. And, you know, we're saying very clearly, every day of inaction is another day of stress for parents, for, you know, burnout for educators, and we're done waiting. And other countries have done this. We need to stop reinventing the wheel and start delivering on the rollout of public childcare.
Yeah. Rachel, just one more thing. I have two texts here and then I just want to get your reaction to them. Someone says, I currently drive 32K in the morning to get my child to creche and drive 32K in the evening. It takes me 1 hour in morning travelling and again in the evening. Someone else says, a simple question regarding childcare in Ireland. Why can't the minister responsible not travel to whatever country in Europe or Scandinavia who has the best childcare and replicate that in Ireland? It sounds so simple, but if we had Minister Norma Foley listening today, and she may well be, what would you say to her, Rachel?
Yeah, I would say let's see this consultation urgently. Let's see this action plan urgently. Let's use the next budget to actually start rolling out, you know, state-led places around the country in those areas that are most underserved. stop reinventing the wheel. Make this the priority that it is. Treat it with the urgency that families, you know, like mine, are forced to treat it with.
Mm-hmm. Everyone seems to be forgetting that the last government shafted every parent with a child in childcare when they allowed childcare providers to raid the increase that occurred in the NCS scheme last year. The NCS was increased in September. By October, our fees went up. Staff didn't get a pay increase, though. That's Zach in Kilcock. Someone else says either put the money into childcare staff wages so I can go to work and pay tax, or put money into maternity leave. In Ennis, only one childcare centre will take a child under 12 months. Maternity leave is 26 weeks. It doesn't add up. Have you heard that, Rachel? Or is she gone? Paul, do we still have you there? Paul's gone too. They're all at the protest, which is taking place at Leinster House today at 12:45, so in 20 minutes' time. So I think that's a conversation that we will continue here on Lunchtime Live on News Talk. But thank you indeed, especially to the guys who are over there at Leinster House for taking our call on that this afternoon.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.